Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
The number one problem in America today is the dysfunctional family. You see what happens? We are brought up in a dysfunctional family. We marry a dysfunctional mate who was brought up in a dysfunctional family, and we in turn bring up children who are dysfunctional, who in turn get married, and on the cycle goes until something supernatural happens and breaks the sickness and the sin that is involved.
The truth is, healing is possible no matter how deep your family wounds go. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Overcoming a Dysfunctional Family, and shares how you can bring healing and renewal to your home. Stay with us. That encouraging message is coming up on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Young with today's message, Overcoming a Dysfunctional Family.
So we're beginning a study that is somewhat devastating. It was to me as I prepared it. It's on parenting. You might say, I'm a single adult, it doesn't apply to me. I assure you that it does. You need to be a minister to those who have children and to children, and one day you might get married and have children. And also, we all need to understand something about the family constellations in which we were reared. If you are married and you do not have children, what a time of preparation. If you have children, this should be right on target. If there's an empty nest or you're a grandparent, how timely this would be as you look back, as I have done, and see the many mistakes that you made and the many things you perhaps did A-OK. And if you're a teenager or a child here, it's a wonderful thing that you can see how you fit in and you can be of an assistant kind of way to help your parents have the kind of relationship they need to bring you up in the way that God planned for you to grow and develop. So this is a very important study. The first two times, this Sunday and next Sunday, are introductory in nature. This is the foundation, this Sunday and next Sunday, and then I'll proceed with 10 commandments of parenting. 10 principles, I believe, are absolutes. They are immutable. They're not optional. They're not if and maybe perhaps. They are absolutely embedded in the Word of God. And the amazing thing is they work every time they're put into practice. So it's going to be a tough pilgrimage for many of us. It's been tough for me. Also, it's going to be a challenging pilgrimage as the Holy Spirit, I pray, works in your heart, in your life, in my heart, and in my life. So, our principal text is Proverbs chapter number 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, 6, I want us to read it together. Very familiar passage, New American Standard. I think we can read it in unison. It is on the screen if you did not bring your Bible. Proverbs 22:6. Here we go. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's do it again. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's prepare for the teaching of God's word. Father, touch us in deep areas of our lives. Plunge to the depths in this quiet moment. And may there be nothing that will distract us in this solemn place as we look to you. Do a healing, forgiving, supernatural work among us. You speak and let me get out of the way. For this is our corporate prayer made in the strong, personal, saving name of Jesus Christ. Amen. No families are perfect. Do you remember when you discovered that your mom and dad were not perfect? I remember that experience. I thought they were absolutely bulletproof. But when I awakened one day and said, you know, my mother is not perfect. My dad is not perfect. The bottom line is there are no perfect families because we live in a fallen world. And we're surrounded by fallen people, and we are a part of this fallen world. And we're surrounded by many situations that are very, very unhealthy. And the sickness that pervades the family today is contagious, and many of us have caught it, and many of us have the disease. A lot of families are in trouble. They are in big time trouble, and the troubles cover a whole gamut of things. Some are in economic difficulty. Some are in conflict difficulty. Some have come to the point there seems to be no way out of the trap. In some families, there is abuse. There's sexual abuse. There is verbal abuse. There is physical abuse. In a lot of families, there is conflict so deep between parents and in-laws and outlaws and children and grandchildren and uncles and aunts and siblings, and on it goes. And so we see that many families in our society are dysfunctional. That's a relatively modern term. I asked someone recently, what does the word mean? And they said, well, it means non-functioning. Oh, no. A non-functioning family is one thing, but a dysfunctional family, the word dis means dangerous. It means a family that is dangerously functioning. And where there is addiction, and where there is insensitivity, where there is pious legality, where there is shame. That's the operative word of most dysfunctional families. If any member of the family is engulfed with some kind of overwhelming problem or idiosyncrasy, the other members of the family have a sense of shame about the conduct or about the lifestyle of that individual, and there is a giant covering up. There's a giant explaining away. Dad is like this because, or mother is like this because, or this brother or sister is like this because. And all of us are caught up in the giant cover-up. And therefore, our feelings are hidden, and we take our feelings, how we really feel, and they're stuffed down inside of us. And we can't let them get out. And therefore, we are a part and product of a dysfunctional situation. Sometimes it can be pious legalism. Sometimes it can be a whole lot of different things. But the bottom line is the family is functioning dangerously. Let me make this statement. The number one problem in America today is the dysfunctional family. You name any situation we are grappling with in the United States, and it can trace it back without exception to a family that is functioning dangerously, to a dysfunctional family. Now, how do you know when a family is functioning dangerously? I have looked at several surveys, and I want to give you 16 reasons, devastating reasons in my judgment. When you know a family is in trouble, a family is in trouble when 60% of the children born in the 90s lived in a single parent home for part of their childhood. The family is in trouble when 1/4 of the girls in the United States and 1/10 of the boys have been sexually abused. The family is in trouble when 3 out of every 5 teens try an illicit drug. The family is in trouble when 10% of adolescent boys and 18% of adolescent girls have made some attempt to take their own life. The family is in trouble when 72% of Americans' teens have had sexual intercourse by their senior year. The family is in trouble when sexually active high school boys report that they lost their virginity at an average age of 13.3, while sexually active girls report an average age of 14.6. We're in trouble when more than 1 million teenage girls in the United States, 1 in 10 under the age of 20, become pregnant every year. We're in trouble when 40% of 14-year-old girls will become pregnant at least once before they are 20. We're in trouble when 2.5 million new cases of adolescent sexually transmitted diseases are reported each year. We're in trouble when 9 out of 10 teens will have experimented with alcohol by the time they reach their senior year in high school, and 39% will get drunk at least once every 2 weeks. We're in trouble when 72% of adolescent murders are from fatherless homes. We're in trouble when 70% of long-term prison inmates come from fatherless homes. We're in trouble when over 25 million children under the age of 18 are growing up in a home without their dad. We're in trouble when we're more concerned with the rights and personal fulfillment of adults than the emotional health of our children. We're in trouble when more than 40% of American adults have no weekly contact with their children. We're in trouble when the average mother spends less than 17 minutes a day in meaningful interaction with any of their teenage children, and the fathers spend less than 7 minutes per day. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, the American family is in trouble. 17 of the most recent shooters, they have done a profile of all 17, extensive research. You know what they discovered? Not a single one of the 17 shooters, not a single one of them, had anything but a casual or absolutely no relationship with their father. All 17 of them. Recently, AT&T did a study of all of its corporate executives. They did an extensive survey. They asked the question, what brings more tension into your life than any other thing? They thought the answer would be the job, the employees, the corporate breakups, the insecurity in the marketplace. You know what the overwhelming majority answered? Family. Wife, husband, children, family. Another multinational corporation met with 150 of its top executives, and they asked the following question. Interesting question. They asked, first of all, how many of you have had skills training for the job you now hold? Every hand went up. Second question, how many of you have had any training for marriage? One hand went up. Third question, how many of you have had any training for parenthood? One hand went up. And I have a feeling if we took a survey today of the 5,000 or 6,000 people who are in worship here in this service, the 3,000 to 4,000 we had last night, the 4,000 to 5,000 we'll have in a service following this one, they would be the same kind of percentage. Let me tell you something. We are going to have training in parenthood. Parenthood. Now, I don't think I have to build a further preamble upon the facts that the American family is in trouble, do I? Do you see it? And a part of us can sit back piously and say, boy, I wish Billy was here, and I wish my wife would listen to this, my husband, or my son, or my daughter, or my grandchildren. Let me tell you something. I want everybody to apply what is said to number one. You've got a full-time job. I have a full-time job trying to recover and trying to deal with some things in my life and in my past, in my background, in my upbringing, in the rearing of my children, in the pointing of my grandchildren, in the relationship now with my wife, in a parenting posture. It goes on and on and on. So we see the problem, the number one problem in America is a dysfunctional family. It's families functioning dangerously. Genesis chapter number 12 through chapter number 50 tells the story of a dysfunctional family through three generations: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you want to be healed of the scars you have caused, of the scars that you have felt, of the family in which you were brought up, or the family in which you brought up your children, or the family in which you are now rearing your children, listen carefully during the next 2.5 months. Genesis 12 through Genesis 50 tells a devastating story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how they passed on their besetting sin and the dysfunctional aspects of family living. You see what happens? We are brought up in a dysfunctional family. We marry a dysfunctional mate who was brought up in a dysfunctional family, and we in turn bring up children who are dysfunctional, who in turn get married, and on the cycle goes until something supernatural happens and breaks the sickness and the sin that is involved. That's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to talk about. Do you remember the commercial, Kodak Moments? When they had a tremendous commercial, I thought, and here's the father, and he's coming out with a baby in his arms that has just been born. He has on the medical green suit, and he comes out with a baby, and click, Kodak Moment. Then you have the same father that's feeding the little girl, and he has baby food all over him, and the baby has baby food all over her, and click, Kodak Moments. And then when he's teaching a little girl how to ride a bicycle, and they're going down the street, and click, Kodak Moments. And then when the girl goes off on her date and he's asleep on the couch waiting for her to come back in, click, Kodak Moments. And then when she gets married and he is standing there and he's about to give her away, and she's looking in the eyes of the groom and tears are coming down her face, and he's looking at his daughter, now a grown-up, beautiful young lady, and tears are in his eyes. Click, Kodak Moments. You can take those Kodak Moments in your life and in your family as you were being brought up, as you were bringing up children in the future, and you can determine a great deal about the character and the personality of that family person, of that particular individual. Let's take Jacob, and we'll look at him more next week and see how the dysfunctional aspect of his family and his upbringing and his marriage relationships and the bringing of his children. But we'll look at it briefly, and we'll try to determine something about the personality of Jacob in these Kodak moments. First of all, let's look at Genesis chapter 25. Don't open it in your Bibles. Don't open it in your Bibles, but you can read it. In Genesis chapter 25, Jacob's twin brother Esau was coming home from hunting, and he was starving. He felt like he was starving to death, and he says, "Jake, give me some of that stew." And Jacob says, "If you'll sell me your birthright." The eldest child got twice the inheritance of any other child, a double portion, and that's exactly what Jacob was bargaining for. And so Esau said, "Well, if I'm dead, my birthright don't do me any good. You can have my birthright. Just give me a bowl of stew." And so he sold his birthright. Jacob now bought that inheritance. Click Kodak moment. Jacob the opportunist. Move ahead a little bit. Isaac, Jacob's father, is dying. Esau goes out to get some wild game to feed him his special broth, his special stew. Along with his mother, Rebecca, they come and they do a whole serenade here, and they pass Jacob off as Esau with hair on his arms, remember? And finally, the dying father who couldn't see said, "Is this Esau the one whom I'm to give the covenant blessing to?" And Jacob didn't tell the truth. He said, "Oh, yes, this is Esau." He said, "Well, the voice is Jacob, but the smell of the animals and the hair on the arm they'd put there, this is Esau." So he gave the covenant blessing, which was a spiritual blessing upon which the Son of God would be born. It was a spiritual lineage he passed on. And now we see, click, Kodak moment, Jacob the liar.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Psalm 139:3. "You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways." Did you know that God studies his children? He is a student of your ways and my ways, and he is ultimately acquainted with everything about you and everything about me. Just as God studies his children, we parents should study ours. We must learn to give our children the kind of love they need. So many of us are great telling our kids we love them, and when what they really need is a big hug, maybe both wouldn't hurt. Far too many parents are still operating under the child-rearing myth that focused quality time is more valuable than quantity time. The truth is, quality time comes as a result of quantity time. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. And believe me, given a choice between quality time or quantity time, a child will choose quantity every time. Remember, kids spell love, T-I-M-E. So study your kids and give them that quality time and that quantity time. You'll enjoy it, you'll grow, and they'll grow, and who knows, one day they may rise up and call you Mom, Dad. Blessed.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion to Dr. Young's message, and be encouraged in your journey towards God's healing for your home.